Welcome to the World Changers Church Gold Coast Podcast. Join us as we listen to today's message.
So, Father, I thank you for another opportunity to minister the gospel, to get into this message, and be led as you lead. Lord, I thank you for just honor and grace. That no matter what I see on the faces of people today, that I minister your word. That it be all of you and none of me. And the parts that are me, I thank you that you give grace for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, if you didn't hear last week's message, it was on Stormproof. Hold the line. It's on Spotify now. You can go and hear that message so you can understand a lot of the content from this one, because this is part two of Stormproof, Built to Last. And when I look at that, we're built for something. You know, we're not, you know, we're built to do something. You know, like a Maserati is meant to go fast. A motorcycle, you ain't, you know, I love y'all's cruisers, but I like Giorgio's bike a whole lot better. It's built to go fast. Amen. I know it's not a Maserati there, but whatever the design of something, whether it be a hammer's reel, a truck, it's built for a purpose. And when we came to Jesus, we're built to last. We're not Toyota tough. We're not Ford broke down. Sorry. We are built for a purpose. And in today's world, our purpose is being diminished, distracted, delayed. And it's being done by all those things, by the one thing that God has called us to, and the devil is trying to disrupt unity. We are socially divided. We are politically divided. Today, some of us will go, well, I'd have said this scripture. I'd have said it this way. We are biblically divided. But God calls us to unity so that we can do more. Because one can send 1,000 to flight and two can send 10,000 to flight. If the devil can get you alone, that means he loses less numbers. You can do more with a community of people than you can ever do alone. And I am a lone wolf, so I don't like that. I play by myself in the sandbox. I like my toys. Amen. I don't like sharing. But God has called me to unity. And so I'm going to talk about something that some of you may not like, and some of you may like, and some of you may disagree with, and some of you may agree with. But I have to say it this morning. Because since Thursday, I have been challenged with, what am I doing here? Since Thursday, I had this jolt of, I need to do more. And then I realized, no, I need to be better at what I'm doing. I need to be focused on what I'm doing, because I'm not focused on what I'm doing. Amen? Sorry if I'm getting passionate. But church, in this past week, many of us saw the heartbreaking news in Utah where Charlie Kirk was shot. Many of you have watched the video and been horrified. And many of you have responded with, well, live by the sword, but die by the sword. Many of you responded with, that's tragic. Many of you responded with humanity. Many of you have responded, and not here, but I'm talking to the broader audience as well. Many of you have responded with, I didn't know the guy, so I don't know how I feel. But a father died. A son died. And a 3-year-old child asked their mother this week, where's daddy? And the mom didn't know how to respond. The reality is, it's a tragic shot that killed him. But I want to bring a different light to it this morning. Something we've all missed, because he was a Christian. And whether we agreed with his views or disagreed with his views, and I have to say that some things I didn't agree with him on. But that didn't give him the right to die or me to go kill him. But the thing I want to focus on about this tragedy is, I was walking all these emotions out since Thursday. There was a video that someone created of Charlie at that tragic moment that some of us have all seen, and we knew it was coming. Someone took a video and they stopped that moment, and they stopped the horror to see the holy moment. We all saw him get shot. But in that moment, he stepped into glory. The world saw the horror. I see the holy moment. Amen. And this video, that moment paused where he got shot. And the tragedy happened, and angels appeared, and he got up and ran up the streets of glory and embraced Jesus. We forget that absence with the body is presence with the Lord. So whether we agreed with him or not, whether we disliked him or not, he was saved, and in that horrific moment, there was a holy moment of him running into the arms of Jesus. We don't fear death. Amen? Oh, death, where is our sting? Does that mean I'm going to go get on my soapbox and do what he did? No, I got my purpose. So don't get it construed. Whether you follow his politics or not, it's shocking to see a man lose his life simply speaking his convictions. Moments like this remind us how fragile life is. They remind us how divided our world has become and simply remind us how quickly we need to change individually. But these events shake the world, but God uses them to shape us. And so Thursday, I was challenged about Built to Last, and I was thinking, what am I doing here? And I thought all these things I need to go do, and me and Alex were talking about it this morning. And God simply spoke to me. He said, son, just do better at what you're doing. Charlie didn't have to work to get there, and I'm going to move on from that in a moment. Just do better at what you're doing. We are built to last, and God is shaping us. So instead of these moments causing silence, they should cause us to ask a question. What am I doing right now? What has God called me to? Because I'm built for a purpose. When we're grounded in our truths of faith, we don't shake and wobble. We stand firm. God uses moments like this and every tragedy that you've never heard about. He shapes us to hold tighter to what matter. He shapes us to stand stronger in Christ. He shapes us to live the greater courage and conviction. Amen? So church, world changers, I had an example of not living in my skin today. I put on this shirt that I hadn't been able to wear in a while, and it still didn't quite fit. And I said, yeah, and it's colorful. And two things about it were not me. I think I'm allergic to color. And it was tight. It was tight. It was very tight. Tight in the shoulders. I'd love to say because I'm working out. No, because I'm still losing weight. And I looked at it, and I said, man, I didn't feel comfortable. And it was starting to, like, mess with me. So I was like, there's some shirts upstairs. I'm going to get me a World Changer shirt. And then I said, oh yeah. And then there's my Nikes up there that someone gave me for my birthday. I'm going to go put them on. And that's going to look so much better. And the moment I put it on, I felt better because I was in my skin. When you're built to last, a Subaru cannot do what an Amarok does. Amen. Glenn can testify to that. Amen. A Subaru cannot do what an Amarok does, but an Amarok can't do what a Subaru does. They're designed to be different. When we're trying to live in someone else's skin out of the calling of how God has called us to be, it ain't going to feel right. Do not let everybody tell you how you should be. Let God tell you how you should be and live in your skin exactly how God has called you because you're built to last. And the way you've been built will fit neatly and perfectly with everybody else around you. Now, if you just don't fit, there's still some shaping that God's doing. Amen? That's a word. If you're just like, well, I don't really fit in. I never really accepted. Well, honey, you got that opinion. Buddy, you got that opinion about yourself. And that is what's keeping you from fitting in. Well, it's because, I'm going to say some things. I grew up in a black church, so I'm going to say some things, all right? Y'all get ready. Y'all white folk about to cry. Y'all ain't never really been through nothing. You've been through something, but you ain't been through nothing. Everybody, huh? We all hold on to our tragedies, and we all hold on to our troubles. But it is not because of the color of your skin. It is because of the choices you've made based on how you perceive yourself and how the world perceives you. So whether you're black, yellow, brown, white, purple, rainbow, I don't care. Amen? You are built to be you. Amen? Thank you for the claps. The beautiful thing is, I've got brothers that are radical left, radical right, radical this, radical that. Bodybuilders, lawyers, doctors, and they all live different and they're designed to be different. So no matter who you are, be you, because you are built to last in the kingdom of God. Amen? Does that make sense? People still mad. It's okay. It's all right. But 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this, no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. The world may be shaking, but God is shaping us to stand. Today, nobody's following anybody. Well, I go to church, and, I know what he said, but I'm going to go to Jesus. Listen, the thing you need to realize about churches that I'm going to correct in this young generation right now, and if we lose half our church, it's all right. I am following a vision of God. And I believe that God is leading us and my leadership team. And I have a leadership team that keeps me from making it about what I say so that we can make diverse decisions. But it is all led in a vision. If you're coming to church to just gather information about what's wrong and right, and you're coming to church to say, well, I go here and I go there and I go here and I go there, you have not yet learned what the Bible says about submitting to vision. And you're trying to lead yourself when you don't even know how to submit. You will never lead a thing until you've learned how to surrender to a thing. Amen? And if you've got the right pastor, hello. If you got the right pastor, you're not going to be dominated. You're not going to have tyranny. You're going to have suggestions. Amen? And does that make sense? I'm never going to tell you what you should do. I'm going to confirm through the Holy Spirit who you are. Amen? Does that make sense? I don't know who you three ladies are, but I'm going to come over and shake your hand. I don't know why, but I got to tell you this morning, I'm blessed that you're here. You have such a love for the Lord, amen, especially you. I just got to acknowledge the love for the Lord. I mean, you were shining this morning, amen. And there's a couple of other you folk in here that are doing the same, but my goodness, hallelujah. Hey, brother. You understand what I'm saying? But that's what I want. I want that on me. Do you understand? The Lord shaped you to get there. You've been through some things to have that type of love in your life. Amen. You've been through some things to have that type of love in your life. I want the Lord to shine on me. Amen. I don't want to be shaken and cower and retreat and I just need to be safe. No, I want to be more bold. I want to be more loud. I want to be more me. And so when I put on my little kicks this morning, I said, man, this feels right. Amen. When I put on this T-shirt, I was like, this feels right. Amen. I thought, I might wear this to that other church when I go preach. Amen. I might go up there and I got two services. I might just preach in a T-shirt. Amen. I want to be me. Here's the truth. All of us are building our lives on something. Some of us built on money, some on career, some on reputation, some on relationships. But how many of you, how many of us know all these things can shift in a moment? Career, money, relationships. Think about it. A career can end in one phone call, one email. A market can crash overnight. A relationship can break over a single conversation, and when it happens, the whole structure of it feels like it's just falling apart. But Isaiah 28:16 says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Now, a lot of people believe that's a temple. Jesus came and said, I will rebuild the temple in 3 days. He was talking about himself. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that doesn't move. He is the stone that is staying yesterday, today, and forever. He is a stone that we can build as the sets the foundation for everything we do in life. This isn't about a religion. This isn't about Zionists. This isn't about that or that and that and that and all the opinions about this and that and the third and which that, blah, blah, blah. No, this is about Jesus being the one thing in our life that doesn't change. Amen. That's what I want to rely on because, man, I've heard so many different opinions about so many different things. Amen? Did I speak too fast just then? Yeah. So many different opinions about so many different things. This isn't about who you display to me. This is about who you are. So since Thursday, I had this one question. Jesus asked me, who are you really? When nobody else is looking, who are you really? If everybody else saw you doing what you're doing in your home, would you still do it? My pastor used to say to me, and if I was there to be in some of your arguments with you and your wife, would you talk to her the way you do? I said, no. And he said, well, then why are you doing it? Moral conviction shouldn't be laid upon what people think about you. Moral conviction should be laid on who Christ is in you. Amen? We're built to last. Jesus is that cornerstone. He is our only. He's not only precious, he's tested. Think about that. Jesus was tested in all manner in which you've been tested. Hallelujah. Meaning he's already faced rejection, temptation, betrayal, even death, and he stood firm. If he held then, he will hold now. So if your foundation feels shaky today, if you're feeling like you're wobble, you're not alone. Many of us have realized at times I've built too much on the wrong things. But the grace of God says it's never too late to rebuild on Christ. Amen? You've built on opinion, denomination, career, whatever it may be. You think you're the only one that got the key to the puzzle. The Bible says we all hear in part and all see in part. I love when people think they got the whole picture. I'm like, look, you only know a little bit. Amen. You don't know a lot of bit, you know a little bit. And if we take all our little bits together, we get the whole picture. And that's what God is calling us to do. The church is built to last when we learn how to take the whole picture and bring it together. I was looking at a house the other day. It was made of old bricks. And I thought, man, how ugly is that? And God said, stop and look. There was discolored bricks. There was bricks. There's pretty bricks. There's ugly bricks. There's wobbly bricks. There was probably troublesome bricks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know where I'm going now. There's some bricks that just needed to be painted. No, I'm just kidding. But each brick built a wall that held up the roof. And if you took too many of those bricks out, the whole wall would fall. Does that make sense? Think about that. We are a brick inside the foundation of the body of Christ, neatly, jointly fit to work together. And if the enemy can just say, have some opinion about this, get angry at that, dismiss that person and don't forgive them, take a hard, strong stance, which is called strife, he starts building his wall and we start losing ours. Amen? Come on, somebody. We've built too much on the wrong things, and that is the wall we need to tear down. We're trying to tear down church and make it something new and better like it never worked. No. Take out the bigotry, take out the control, take out the religiosity and the legalism, and church is okay. Amen. You better preach. Amen. Now here's a question. Once the foundation is in place, what are you actually building on? Are you building on Jesus? Because Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 13. Look at this. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stone, wood and hay and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, theologians, get this. They made this like the great white throne judgment. Peter said, precious, more precious than silver and gold is the trial of your faith. This is a now test. Life will test you. And if you have built on the wrong things, you're going to crack, wobble, shake, and shiver. You got to look at when life ain't perfect, what you're building on. What are you building on? Seriously, amen? What are you building on? Because if the foundation ain't on Jesus, it's going to fall. Well, I've heard this before, praise the Lord. That message about build on sand and build on the rock. Yeah, we've heard it, but are we living it? I wouldn't have to preach this message if we were living it. Amen? We're still living on the foundations of opinion. We're still living on the foundations of image. We're still living on the foundations of what everybody approves of. Well, it's a man's world. Do not let the willpower of another person or gender stop you from being you. Be what God's called you to be. My wife has never let me stop her from being her. Amen? Men, I'm going to tell you something. Your wife is not your neck. You may be the head of the house, and I hear that phrase all the time. Well, I may be the head, but my wife is in the neck. No, she is your partner. She is your partner. That means she has equal decision in the home with mutual submission, and God looks at you and says, did you surrender and submit like Christ did to the church and love her like Christ did to the church? Did you lead well in that partnership? Amen? I don't know why I went there, but I did. When the foundation is Christ and it's not built on gold or silver or straw, it's different. What materials are you using to build your life? So the question isn't just, what are you standing on? The question is, what are you building with? The question is not, what are you standing on? The question is, what are you building with? Are you building with the word? Are you building with social media? Are you building with the opinion of man? What are you building on? Build with materials that last. Build yourself up. Build your inner man up. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if anyone builds, their work will be shown of what it is, be the day that it brings to light. So it's not just about what foundations you're standing on. It's about what you're building. Gold, silver, costly stones. Gold, silver, costly stones. Obedience, faith, sacrifice, love, service. Wood, hay, straw. Compromise, shortcuts, selfishness, living only for appearances. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Work as you're working for the Lord. Honor God with the way your ethic is. Honor God with your attitude. Honor God with your relationships. Honor God. Amen. Galatians 6 and 9 reminds us, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap the harvest of what we do not give up. Listen, I got weary, Ian, as being a pastor. You know what I'm talking about. I got weary, Jim, as being a pastor. You know why? Because the more I love people, the more less they love me. The more I did, the more opinion they had. The more I taught, the more they said I'm not a teacher. The more I evangelized, they said stick to your lane. The more I sang, they said shut up. The more I did. And I said, Lord, this is hard. And he said, well, what you doing it for? And I thought that was a Kyle question, like, well, give up. You know, being rhetorical. And he said, no, what are you doing it for? I don't know, Lord. Why are you in Australia? I don't know, Lord. Why are you showing up this Sunday? I don't know, Lord. Why are you doing it? I don't know, Lord. Kept asking me that question, almost like the Peter and the sheep question, until I got the right answer, got done with the flesh and all the complaint. I said, Lord, when I started this journey, I started it for you. He said, we'll start there again. We've all seen this. One person builds their own successes. Looked solid. But when pressure came, it collapsed.
another built on prayer, faith, and service. Same storm, different outcome. Every decision, listen to me. If you ain't listened to this whole message, listen to this. Every decision is a brick that you're building with. Every prayer is a stone, and every act of kindness is the gold that ordains what you've built. Don't waste your life building straw huts when God is inviting you to build with treasure that lasts forever. We're built to last. It's hard to love the unlovable. It's hard to forgive the unforgivable. It's hard to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do even when it costs you something. It's hard to be integral. It's hard to do the things that look past yourself. But that's what we're called to. If we build everything on us, it's going to fall with us. Amen? What are you building with? Gold or straw? Let's be honest. Some of us know what straw faith feels like. I do. One rude text and we're rattled. One slow driver in the right lane and you've lost all your patience and you're wishing them happy birthday. But when you build with eternal things, storms don't tear you down that easily. It's the small foxes that get us. See, we stand against those big things because they're big. We see them coming. Insecurity, depression, bills that we forget about, forgot we signed up for. Those are the ones that get us. Where's all our money going? What's happening? Don't tell me how I should follow Christ. Man, that's the one I use against my wife all the time. And she says, I ain't. I'm just trying to get you to act better. Hey. When you live for Christ, your language changes, your eyes change, your appearance changes, your walk changes, your facial expressions change, and people can see that you're built different. Amen? Hebrews 12, 26 through 28 says, one more. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yes, once more I will shake not only earth, but also heaven? Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we can serve God, especially with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear. That we may have grace, favor. Let us understand God's position in our lives. These things that are shaking in the world are a part of the end times. He's going to shake the mountains to where they run to the hills. But we will remain. Our faith will remain. His love will remain. We are not going to be shaken and defeated and dismissed. Just because all these things are shaking first in the house of God, you see all these things happening in the house of God, all these great men falling, and all you want to do is post about it. And, oh, I knew he wasn't godly. Shame on you. Not really, but praise the Lord. But we don't need to join in the party. We need to realize that the house of God will be the first thing that God shakes. Amen. It'll be the first thing he rattles, and the things that are not of him will fall, and the things that are of him will remain. And you know what I'm saying? Love is coming more forward because it is the thing that the gospel is founded on. It is a curtain rod of all things, and grace is getting louder in all denominations. Wow. And faith is the first act that we all take. The things that are true, the things that are lovely remain. Jesus said in John 16, 33, in this world, let me just read it there. These things I have spoken to you. Are you there yet? Yeah. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I went to go make a post on social media about all the stuff that's happening. And I said, why am I doing it? There's better people out there that can do this. Better influence. I said, God, do I need to do this? And I said, this one you can do, that one you can't. And I said, if I didn't have social media, would I care? I'd heard about it. I'd have said, that's sad, and I'd have moved on. That's the basics of it, people. You understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? And then I thought, what do I really need to do right now with my life, what I need to do is focus on Jesus. What I need to do is realize that if I am of the world, I'm going to have tribulation. The first thing I thought, the moment I put this post out, I'm going to have people hating on me. Guess what happened? They hating on me. It's of the world. But with him, I have peace. Y'all don't hear me, but you will. Psalms 46 and 1 says, God is my refuge and strength and every present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way to the mountains and fall into the heart of the sea. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. That would be a troubling day. Wi-Fi went out. Oh my God, what's going on? We don't have money for groceries this week. Oh my Lord, we're going to die and starve to death because one day we can't eat nothing more than potatoes. It's not that bad what you're going through right now. I don't really like these chairs in the church. They need to be bigger, a little more cushion. The things you are offended about, the things that you're hurt by, the things that you're focusing on are not as big as they are. But one day, what really matters will be huge. Let's put Jesus back as the main thing now. Amen. God doesn't allow shaking to destroy us. He uses it to reveal something. See, he's not causing the trouble. He's not causing the sickness. Those things that happen in life are of a fallen world. But what God does is he comes in through his Holy Spirit, through his grace and love, and he uses those things to shape us, to teach us. After the floods in Lismore, only the strongest structure survived. The shaking didn't just destroy, it revealed some things. Today, in today's world, when something happens so tragic, it reveals humanity. My immediate thing, instead of jumping on a left or right side, was, I am praying for humanity. We are sick little puppies. And unless we're in Christ and in the mind of Christ, we're saying the wrong things. We're doing the wrong things. We will mock at someone's death or say that they deserve to die instead of him. No one deserves to die. Jesus died for us. We should never be caught saying someone deserved it because we deserved it first. Amen. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. We deserved the punishment he took. And we are now alive in him. Amen? So the world may be shaking. Economies, politics, threats of World War III. Listen, y'all, I'm not as old as some, but I'm old enough to know that World War III has been coming for about 20, 30 years. The end of the world happens like Men in Black every day. Oh, they don't know how many times the world about ends on a daily basis. If we live in those things, then we will forget to see Jesus. When God shapes us, he shapes our priorities. He shapes our faith. He shapes our character, and he shapes us to look more like Christ. This past week, I really challenged myself to say, what am I really here for in Australia? And if it's outside of what I'm here for, I'm just not going to do it. So I'd love to be all y'all's friend. I'm going to do my best, but I can't get to you all. So I'm going to be honest. I'm going to talk to you now. Here's what Kyle David Self is about. Jesus. Seeing people come to him. Families being restored. Forgiveness operating in fullness. People knowing the love of God. I could care less about opinions. The key to the service. Honey, if these services is all you get spiritually, this is just an invitation to the beginning of what your week can be like. You don't need all this to have this, but we do this together to encourage one another, to celebrate one another. I'm out of time, I think, ain't I? Amen. So I'll say this with you. I'll say this to you. You can try and run from it. You can try and numb it. You can even be angry about it. But God is calling you. And one day, whether you want to or not, you're going to be faced with a choice of yes and amen, or no, I'm not doing that. Today, I've decided to say yes and amen. Send me, God, I will go. I'm focused on you. My buddy's come to visit me again. You want to play? What do you want to do? Here, you want that? No, you can't have that. You might swallow that. I forget what it's like to have a baby. Come here. Hey, look at that. I'm still a dad. I can still catch falling babies. We're going to hang out for a minute. This is why I do it. To make a better world here inside this community for children. I can't fix the world, but I can change his. I can't fix every home, but I can give an example of what one could be. Smiling faces and joy is my focus. This is why we do what we do. Jesus even mentioned these little children. And he said, precious. You know, if I told him when he's two or three that the sky's purple, he'd be like, okay, Pastor Kyle. Because that's how a child believes. We need to learn how to enjoy church like this child. And so that's why when he's running around crawling and his mom's crawling with him, amen. I don't want to restrict that. I want church to be something he grows up in and says, I didn't see church the way you talk about it. They love me. They let me play. They let me be a child. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So, build on Christ, the foundation, build on materials that last, and build for the shaking, not from the shaking. Troubling times will come. Build now instead of build when trouble happens. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Here's the truth. The shaking doesn't have to have the final word. The world may shake, but God is shaping us. Shaping us to be stronger, braver, and faithful to stand in hours like these. Stand in love, stand in truth, and stand with Him. Father, we thank you this morning for each and every person underneath the sound of my voice. That this morning, Lord, that if there be conviction, that let it not turn to condemnation, because there's no condemnation in Christ. If they want to be better husbands, if they want to be better mothers, better wives, better friends, better coworkers, better career workers, if they just want to be a better person, let them realize they can't do it within themselves. They have to surrender to you. And that through the constant counsel of those that can teach you the disciplines of the Bible, may we grow wiser in Him. May we take opportunity to come to things like worship nights, Lord. May we take the opportunity to come to midweek services, because those are the places that we grow. So, Father, we thank you for community. We thank you for family, and we thank you for friends. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message. To connect or find out more, you can reach us online at worldchangers.life. Remember to subscribe for more uplifting messages from our pastoral team, and may you continue to walk in faith and transformation until we meet again.